turn to Hebrews, what book of Hebrews? Hebrews,
chapter 11. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It's interesting, last Sunday morning I preached, the whole message was wrapped around the idea that some theologians, some smart guys way back when, decided that God missed it when he gave us our Bible. There was some long words in Thessalonians, and we preached the whole message showing how God got it right and they got it wrong, how that Christ is our Savior and our judge. He's appointed. Right now, he's appointed to be my Savior. Someday, for those who reject him, he's appointed to be the judge. And here, this text is interesting. I begin to study it and I begin to look at some things, and I don't look far into what other people say. I take a glance, and if it lines up with what the Holy Spirit teaches me and what the Bible says, I listen, but not, I just go ahead. Here, one of them said that it should be that he looked for the city which had a foundation. What foolishness. Abraham didn't know what city he was looking for. God told him to go out and look for a city. God got it right. Your Bible was right. Amen. It's a preserved, inspired Word of God. You don't have to worry about it. You just accept it, open it up, and read it. Amen. You don't have to get more smarter than God. More smart, if you like to say it that way. Amen. He looked for a city which had foundations. His builder and maker is God. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 says, "For you're not come to the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and to the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they had heard and treated, that the words not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. If so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly feared and quake." And I understand how he fell right there this morning. Verse 22, he says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Moses said, God said here in the Word of God, he said, when Moses came to Mount Sinai with the people, they had to wash and made the plain, and Moses made a barrier around the mountain that no one could even get past the barrier. But an animal or anyone who touched the mountain would die instantly. And the brightness of the mountain where God came down to speak to Moses was so bright that the people cried to Moses. They said, "Moses, let not God speak with us, lest we die." They said, "Moses, you talk to God and you tell us what God said, but we can't even approach to the mountain where God is." And Moses approached with fear and trembling, and here the Bible says, but this is not even what we're talking about. He said, this is not the mountain where God came down. He said, it's the mountain where God is, and where we'll go up to someday. And that being that city, that new Jerusalem, which is heaven. I'll read another verse to you. Psalm 48, verse 2 says, "Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king. Psalm 50 in verse 2 says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1. Before I read, I'll just tell you that I enjoy going for drives. I didn't inherit that from my dad. And my brother inherited it either. I don't think he cared about going for drives. He just liked to get home when you're running the roads and all the time like they have to do. You don't want to drive anywhere. But I guess I got a little nostalgia in me. I like to take a drive out here and drive in there. And I enjoy the things and being out, and I like to drive and just get the car and just go somewhere. And I like it better for gasoline, $1.25 a gallon. I didn't do a whole lot of driving around, it's $4 a gallon. This morning, we're not necessarily going anywhere. 9 times out of 10, when I preach, I have some place in my mind that I want us to go to as far as it pertains to the truth and the Word of God. This morning, we're not going to drive. We're just going to drive around. And I want to just kind of, if we can, Lord be in my help, I just want to drive by and let you peek into a city where those of us who are saved are going to be going to someday. You see, this world and all of its beauty, and it's amazing to me, it really is. It's amazing to me that this earth can still, at times, nature can be so beautiful, even after 6,000 or 7,000 years of corruption and sin. You ever think about that? I mean, after all of those years of deterioration and decay, it's still beautiful. I'm still awed by the beauty of God's creation. I really am. Sometimes I'm just amazed by that song that Squire Parsons wrote, that Beulah Man song. He wrote that driving through the mountains in West Virginia, on top of the mountain. And as he was coming through, he pulled over and wrote that song, Beulah Land, that I'm going to have Jessica sing to us here just a moment. Before we do, though, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. That word prepared means in order. If you attend a wedding, you're prepared for a wedding, you know about the all the planning, all the preparation to go. And how then the worshipman, this has to be here, and every hair has got to be in place, and the flowers got to be in place, and everything got to be in place. But folks, God has been preparing a city for all of these 2,000 plus years. I think you got to listen. If you're thinking about what you're eating afterwards, you may as well just go ahead and go eat. Thank you. I'm talking to you about heaven. I pray you'll listen. You're going to have to step outside of this realm of flesh for a few moments, and you're going to have to forget about what you watched on television. And the best way to do that is ask God to forgive you for watching it, if you're filthy and wicked, because those things will not point you to heaven. That's in my list of no mores. Amen. And I'm just asking you this morning that are saved, that claim the name of Jesus, and that you, someone we were talking out back in the hallway a moment ago, I said, I don't know for sure that I'll be here tomorrow, but I know for sure someday I'll be in heaven. I'm certain of that. I'm more certain that someday I'll be in heaven than I am that I'll ever lay down in my bed and sleep again in my house. I don't know that for sure. I know for sure I'll be in heaven someday. I don't know for sure I'll finish this message. I don't know for sure we'll even get back home today, but I know for certain I'll be in heaven someday. That's a guarantee. Because of Jesus. Amen. Revelation 21, verse 3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. You see those commas in there in your Bible? You know what they're there for, right? They're there to cause us to pause. That goes right back to what I said. God didn't give you the Bible so you could read it and say, I went the Bible true.
God gave you His words. His words. And we're to read His words. And when God puts a pause in there, it's not man's comment. It's God's comment. Amen. I believe God put all of them in there. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people. I understand. It seems like a bad illustration, but it's not really. I mean, if you have a pet animal, you have a dog or something, a cat or something. You ever notice that anytime you go into a house where there's a dog and the dog's outside, but he's never been inside, you ever notice there's always paw prints on the door? You know why? It's because he would just love to be inside. They like, and it's a big deal for a dog to get to come in. I don't know why. It's more fun outside, that they want to come inside. They want to be with you. And God says here that He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. If God's going to let us into His city, and we want to dwell with Him. Brother, I hate to think that an old dog would be more excited about coming to my house than I am excited about going to God's house running with Him. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Come and sing for us. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.
Okay.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to where
his religion, his Pharisaical Jewish tradition was being
assaulted by these Christians. He didn't understand Christianity, and that's the case with all who are not saved. They don't understand. And the Bible says, only taste and see that the Lord is good. Once someone's tasted, there's no going back. There's no desire to go back. Things are different once you're saved. Amen. And Paul, while he was walking along that day, there was a light shined from heaven, and God blinded him and put him down on his knees. And there on that road to Damascus, that man got saved, and forever the history of Christianity was saved. He became not a persecutor, but he became a propagator. Amen? And he began to preach and spread the gospel everywhere he went. One day, the people got angry with him, and they took Paul, and they stoned him. They began to throw stones at him, and they began pelt him with those stones. And I believe literally that he died. I believe that when he died, they brought him outside the gates of the city, and the wife was there. He speaks about having seen a city, and having a man having seen a city. And listen to this for a moment. Please don't talk. I don't want to be interrupted and stop and look at you. Listen, he went up to, they drug him outside the city. After having been stoned to death, they drug him outside the city. My mind's in a whole different world today, and I wish you'd join me. They drug him outside the city, and while he was there, the Bible says that he saw, that he heard things unspeakable. A lot of folks say that Paul saw heaven and he saw things he couldn't speak about, but just the things that he heard were unspeakable. I don't know what he heard. I'm sure he heard the heavenly choir singing. I'm sure he heard the angels singing. I'm sure he heard those who had already gone on before singing. Maybe he heard God singing. Amen. I don't know what he heard, but the music of heaven, I'm sure, is so different than the music here on earth. And the singing in heaven is so different. The sounds of heaven. There are things that you'll hear with your ears as you go throughout this life you wish you hadn't heard. And there are things you have heard that you'd like to go back and undo those things. But thank God, when you get to heaven, the things that you'll hear there are sweet sounds, beautiful sounds, lovely sounds. Before Paul was saved, there was a young man that was preaching, and he was a deacon in the church, and he was a preacher. He was a spirit-filled young man. His name was Stephen. And Stephen had preached and gave a history lesson to the Jews one day, and they didn't like the lesson. They didn't like the truth. Amen? And so they picked up stones to stone Stephen. But before they did, the Bible says that Stephen looked into heaven, and he saw the Lord standing at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And after, the Bible says, after he looked into heaven, the people gnashed in their teeth. Read your Bible and check it out and see what I'm talking about. Understand this, that they were angry at what he said. But there was something that happened to Stephen after he looked into heaven that angered them even more than what they had been before. They began to gnash at their teeth and began to throw stones at him. I don't know what Stephen saw, but brother, it must have been wonderful. It must have been glorious. He saw something that caused him at that time. You can say, you might say amen when you hear a good song, or you might say amen at church, or you might say amen to a good testimony. But brother, whenever you can start shouting and praising God and saying amen when there's a bunch of angry Jewish mob gathered around with stones in their hands, ready to stone you to death, and they're all swearing at you and calling your name, and you look up and see something that causes you to kick it into overdrive, friend, then he must have saw something mighty wonderful when he looked up into heaven. Because listen, and they begin to throw stones at him. I don't know if he fell any of them. I'm sure he may have, but I really doubt that he fell any of them. I think it was his eyes were fixed on heaven. His eyes were fixed on what he was seeing. And friend, listen, if we would just every once in a while get our eyes fixed on heaven and just look up into heaven and see what God has for us, friend, all the sorrows and all the sickness and all the problems, they don't mean quite so much. Those are testimonies of men who literally the Bible tells about having witnessed heaven. We read in John, in Revelation, we see the testimony that John gave of heaven. I was with a fellow one day, told him we were painting a house, and your neighbor was there. We were being him talk, just me and the fellow in the garage. He came out and started talking to me, and came out there on a Saturday morning, and as he was talking, he was telling me a story about a loss in his life of his baby, his little boy, and he said that bothered him. He couldn't sleep, and it really bothered him, really upset him. And he said one time, he said, why, he was just down and out. He prayed. He said, God, if I just knew, if I could just see what my son was doing, he said, I think it would help me. And he forgot about his prayer, he said. And one day he told me that morning, he told me that, he said, while he was A few days later, he went to sleep that night. He woke up in the middle of the night and he began to cry. His wife woke up and said, "What's wrong? What's bothering him?" He said, "Oh, there's nothing bothering me." He said, "It's what I just seen." He said, "So what did you see?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I prayed the other day. So I asked the Lord if I could just have an idea of what our son's doing." He said, "I just had a dream. He said, I dreamed that I was on a boat out in the middle of the water." And he said, "The water was pure, as clear as I'd ever seen before." And he said, "We were on that boat." And he said, "We headed toward a little island." He said, "But as we began to go around it," he said, "I could hear laughter, and I could hear playing, and I could hear a sound on the other side." And he said, "Finally," he said, we pulled around, he said, "and I looked over," and he said, "I saw the shores of the city. And I saw some children out playing on the shores." And he said, "One of them, at that very instant that I seen him," he said, "one of them looked at me and waved and turned around and walked off." And he said, "I know it had to be our boy." And listen, God help you if you're one of those highbrow theologians that said, "I don't believe that stuff." Friend, listen, go come in. I don't know. Go get saved or something. I don't know what. I don't believe that stuff. Listen, man, I don't care what you believe. Listen, hey, I know this. If God wants to let somebody peek into that city, friend, listen, if you and I could peek in it, we wouldn't frown so much. We'd have a little joy in our hearts. Friend, I promise you this, you'd never be happy down here again if you could just get one glimpse into heaven, friend. If God would ever just open up that city, you said, "Preacher, why is it that God talks more about hell than about heaven?" Friend, listen, hey, he warns us not to go to hell. But if he let us in much on heaven, none of us would be happy down here. I've been to a few places, my friend, many. I've been a few places. But all the being I've ever been is in West Virginia. And you can experience a lot right here. Amen. It's a beautiful state I've been in. Almost heaven, West Virginia. I used to think that because it was almost heaven until I started going soul winning in West Virginia. And I found out everybody saved that lives in West Virginia. Everybody's saved. Amen. And I remember one time that we went up here to Carnifax Ferry, Ray, you know, up through there, and we went down, we were camping in Summersville, me and my cousin Adam, we rode our bikes up there, we went down a trail, down into a gully down there, and man, it was beautiful, and we went back and got everybody, "You got to go down here." We all went down there, and there was a rock out in the middle of the river there, and Dad went out first and stood on it. It was right below the water, and it looked like he was walking on water, so I thought that'd be cool. You know, I dove out through there, got bit by 15 turtles on the way out of that rock, you know. I swam fast. I don't think getting me. And we got out there, and about a year or so after that, I got sick. I got some kind of bad bug, and I thought I was going to die. I don't know what was wrong with me, but Mom gave me an aspirin one night. That's before they found out you weren't supposed to give, you know, aspirin or something. And I was about 3 or 4 days into dying, and if you're a field, you know how to die, right? And I was dying. I went outside one day and a fly flew around me. I said, "Glenn, the flies are blowing me. I'm dying already. I'm dying." I lost about 10 or 15 pounds that week. And that night, though, Mom gave me that. And I asked her, she came to check on me. I said, "Where are y'all going to bury me at?" I was hallucinating. And I thought I was going. But you know, the only thing I could think about, besides pain, you know, that orange drink, and I drank about 4 or 5 gallons of that. I thought about that Carnifax Ferry. I thought about that day being down there. I thought, you know, I can't wait to go back there. In my mind, that picture was in my mind. I'd been to Hawaii. If I never will be, I don't plan on going there. I've heard folks who have gone there, once they go on, it's all they talk about, wanting to go back again. You know what? If you could go to heaven, you wouldn't enjoy it that year. I promise you this. I believe, Mom, you've read that book, talked to me about it, and that fella that was spent some time there, went there. Listen, you will never be happy down here if you go there. Heaven's a real place.
Right.
There are testimonies in the Bible of things and how people were there. Listen, number next is this, about the assumptions. I kind of give you some of the assumptions the certainties of heaven. There are some things I assume about heaven. I heard a preacher say one time, and if you ever preach the Bible, preach the gospel, then make sure this is a good rule to live by. You can never make heaven sound too good. Because no matter how good you make it sound, you can rest assured it'll be far better than what you said it was. Amen? I told you the other day, and I'll just mention it again, about the fellow that came over to the little church, and man, he must have taught about a 15-year seminar on Revelation and heaven, bored me to death. It wasn't only 15 years, it just felt like it. I couldn't wait. But one time he gave me the worst news I've ever heard in my life. He said, "There won't be any eating in heaven." And I found out he was wrong. Amen. And Jesus ate in his glorified body. You can check that out. But listen, I heard him say that and I thought, man, that ain't right. I was about 10, 11 years old and I studied the pictures. And I was a young boy that knew how to eat. You could tell. Amen. And I didn't like the idea of going anywhere where I couldn't eat. And that bothered me. And I thought, you know, I'm going to give me some of those McDonald's, those seeds, all these McDonald's burgers, and I'll take it to heaven with me. I'll plant a cheeseburger garden when I get there. Amen. But listen, heaven's a real place. We're going to go there someday.
Right.
There's a lot of assumptions. I don't know. Leave me alone. I'll assume what I want to about heaven. I assume my dogs might be there. You say, oh, that's silly. Well, you can assume what you want to. I assume that we'll know each other when we get there. I like what Dr. B.R. Lincoln said. He said, I hate to think that I'll be smarter then when I'm perfect than what I am now when I'm imperfect. The Bible says we shall be known as we are known. And when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, he called out and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Before that, he told his sister, he said, your brother shall rise again. Brother, listen. Hey, you go through and check your Bible out. When Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, he saw those Old Testament saints. And the men that were with him who had never seen them in the flesh knew who they were. Amen. Why? Because they'd been described to them. And they looked the same even then. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that there are some things I assume about heaven. And they're all good things. I don't assume anything bad about heaven, but I assume some good things. Amen. And there are also some certainties about heaven.
Yeah.
I'm certain that there's some folks that are there that I'm going to see them. I'm certain I'm going to see Enoch. The Bible says he was not. For God took him. And Enoch walked with God. One day Enoch was out and the world was growing wicked. And the more wicked the world became, the more Enoch desired to be with God. And the more time Enoch spent with God, and the less comfortable he felt in this old world. And I understand that the song that he sings were not the same as then. I preached a nursing home one night, and I was trying to preach to the people there and talking about heaven. And I said, let's sing some songs. Can we sing some songs about heaven? I said, I don't know. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, I said, he might have sang how beautiful heaven must be. Or he might have sang those songs, you know. And old fellow afterwards, we were taking some questions. He said, you don't really think they sang those songs. They weren't written then, were you? And I said, well, probably not. You probably got me on that, you know. But listen, I don't know. I don't know all those things. I know that Enoch was not. God took him. One day God said, Enoch, you just don't want to stay with me. I'll see him someday. I know this, that there's a thief that's going to be there. He's not a thief anymore. The thief on the cross. I know for sure, based on the Word of God, that this Mary hung about ready to die and go off into hell, and with his counterpart on the other side, and both of those men deserve to die. They deserve the penalty for their sin. They deserve to go to hell. But listen, in the middle was Jesus Christ, the crucified Savior, the Lamb of God. And that one thief rejected him still, but the one accepted him. And the Lord said, this day shall you be with me in paradise. And thank God for that. Amen. Listen, that old thief never got off the cross. He never got to go to Sunday school. He never got baptized in any kind of church or denomination. But friend, he got a guarantee from Jesus Christ that he would be with him in paradise. Someday I'll see him. And listen, I made the point in my preaching to try to use his testimony for others' sakes. He never had the opportunity to go soul winning. But friend, because of the living Word of God, here it is 2,000 years later, and that old thief on the cross is still preaching to people. Brother Adam, you got saved that morning. Sunday school, my dad taught on the thief on the cross. And church, I preached on the thief on the cross. Afterward, I was given the invitation, and my dad said, I got to say something. He stood up and read how many chapters in the Bible, how many books in the Bible, how many verses. I don't know where he figured all that up, how many words. He said, now what's the chances? He said that he would preach on what I taught on. He said, we didn't get together on that. And we didn't study that out. He said, God did that. He said, there's a message here for somebody. He said, whatever it is, you need to do it. And all that time, there's a young man back there, Brother Adam Johnson, who had been to church just 2 times or 3 times, I guess. And that morning, God was working on his heart. And that morning, he came and got saved. Friend, listen. And thank God for salvation. Thank God for that old thief on the cross. I'll see him someday. Why? Because Jesus said, this day, shall be with me in paradise. Oh, there's some certainties there. I like when I read my Bible, I like to see things about heaven that folks down here won't like. Amen. The Bible says there are armies in heaven. So for all you pacifists, folks, listen, you're not going to like that because the Bible says the armies of heaven are coming down. Amen. There's horses, there's armies, there's generals, there's commanders, there's somebody. Well, what's wrong with those armies? I'll tell you who the supreme general is. Amen. That's the Lord. And there's no pride in that army. But listen, hey, there's armies and there's horses there, and God's got somebody take care of those horses. You go study the Bible, they even fished up there. You look in Ezekiel, you'll find that they was on the banks of that river, there's fish in there. Brother, listen, heaven's a wonderful place.
Amen.
I know one thing that's there, the blood of Calvary's there. One fool said that the blood of Jesus came down and it fell into the ground and it's still there in that ground. But sir, that's not true. When the blood of Jesus fell from our Savior on Calvary's tree, that blood was taken to the mercy seat in heaven. And that, listen, amen right there, listen. That blood that washed our sins away. We were thinking about a moment ago, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood, draws from the angel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty sins. Thank God for that this morning. Listen, the blood of Jesus is there in heaven.
Amen.
When you get saved, when you got saved, that blood washed your sins away. That blood testifies to the fact that I'm saved. And Brother John taught about in Sunday school this morning, that was our Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He said, Richard, how do you know I'm saved? And I know because the blood's in heaven. The blood of Jesus washed my sins away.
Right.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
Oh, listen. Heaven. One of my favorite things about heaven. If you'll read your Bible, look in the book of Revelation chapter 4. You don't turn to it right now. But you'll find out that there's a throne in heaven. A throne. Not thrones. A throne. If you'll check it out, you'll find out that down here on earth, there's a kingdom of heaven, there's a kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within me who are saved. That's a spiritual kingdom. There's a worldly, fleshly kingdom out around here. And listen, and the old devil has always sought to try to put himself on as king of that kingdom. He told Jesus there on the Mount of Transfiguration, he told Jesus, and I wish all the people that blame God for every president we ever get, I wish all them would read the Bible and see that Satan told Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, all of this is mine to give to whomever I will. Listen, if you don't think the devil and he has some pull down here, and he's the prince of the power of the air. But someday, listen, someday Satan's going to be put down.
Right.
And listen, there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ here on this earth, and at the end of that, he'll be loose, and he'll still go out, and he'll still deceive people. But friend, after that, there'll be a great white throne of judgment, and from there, Satan will be bound into hell, cast into the lake of fire, where he'll burn forever and ever, and the false prophet and the beast will be there. And unfortunately, those who have been deceived by him will be there. But in heaven, there'll be one throne.
Right.
Down here, there are many thrones. Your boss has a throne. They fighting in the home for the throne.
Right.
It goes on between husbands and wives, and then teenagers come along, and they can get the throne. And I'm not talking about the throne in the restroom. I'm talking about who's in charge.
Yeah, right.
And listen, as long as you've got fighting over who's in charge, you'll never have any peace. As long as you got time, they fight in churches. Everybody wanted to get on the throne. You take that any way you want to, amen? Want to be in charge. I grew up in a church and it seemed always like there was a fight over who was in charge. And one week it was the deacons, and one week it was the chairman of the deacons, or the head deacon, and one week it was the ladies' day. And every once in a while the preacher got to sit on there for a little while. But it seemed like Jesus never got to be there. And that's why today that church struggles so much. That's why so many other churches struggle so much. They wanted to put the board up on charge. And every once in a while the preacher, he's fighting for a little piece of the throne. And the women are fighting, and the men are fighting, and the deacons are fighting, and the ushers are fighting. Friend, listen. Friend, if you want to have a little taste of heaven, then find you a Bible Christian church where Jesus is on the throne, and he's the only one up there, friend. And we rule and operate by his word, not by some man or some organization somewhere. And that, by the way, is what a true Bible church is. When you get to heaven, there'll only be one throne. And there'll only be one king. That throne is the throne of God.
Right.
And there'll only be one ruler on that throne. And you know what? Listen, what he says goes.
Right.
For the words, go ahead and get my song ready for me. Listen. What he says goes. I'm looking forward to that day. Friend, listen, our world is not getting any better. I know folks like to pull out their Romans and they say, be subject to the powers of me and the powers of me. Well, the powers of me are ordained of God. If the powers of be come along one day and our president or somebody comes along and says, now you think there's going to be no more Bible preaching, no more soul winning, you know what? Friend, listen, he didn't give me the authority to do it to begin with. I'm not one that's going to spend all my money for some lawyer to represent me and give me the right to do what God already gave me to do. Amen? We have in our country what's called a Declaration of Independence. And the reason why we have so little independence is because we fail to declare our dependence annually. I want you to listen for a moment. I want to talk to you about, I want you to listen about that city, that heavenly city, where we're going to someday. Just keep playing with the words. It comes on, it comes on. I talked to you about the testimonies of heaven, about Peter, about Paul, about Stephen, and what they've seen, what they heard. Then about the assumptions of heaven. And I told you this, I assume that there's going to be some things there. They're wonderful things, godly things. And there's some certainties. I'm certain the blood of Jesus is going to be there. Then I'm certain that there'll be a throne there. If you're going to king on that throne, your name is Jesus. Listen, as our song plays for us.
It is God.
Forevermore on that path. Yeah. Amen. She passed on, left this world, and it just wasn't But a few couple years later, I went again. That's why I don't like to do work anymore. I drove away. I was going to run to Indiana for Mother's Day, let that student surprise her mom, go to a banquet with her there at the church and do some things. And on the way up, that front Sunday night, I kissed Dad goodbye. And Brother Ray, Leonard was standing out there with him. Brother Leonard and I kissed Dad on the head. I didn't kiss Leonard. I told him I loved him. I loved him. And said, I'll see you later. And I went on and got up that morning. We made our trip up there. And that morning, I went out and prayed, read my Bible, and came back in. Mom called me, and Dad had a heart attack. And I said, well, I'll go pray. And I walked out the door and started praying. And I got on the phone, started calling people, and you guys here to pray, and I was 8 hours away. Wasn't much I could do. Pray, that's much. Amen.
Amen.
But the Lord kind of just put something in my heart there and thought, and I argued with Him a little bit about it. Said, no way, Lord, that ain't time. It ain't right. But it was time, and it was right. And the family was here, and I was there. And about 12 o'clock that day, Matt called me and asked me to pull over. I was just getting on the interstate, just trying to get everything ready and get going. And we just come up there about 20 hours before, and I said, I'm not going to pull over. Just tell me what you need to tell me. And hung the phone up. And Jess was in the back of the kid. Looked at me, what is it? I said, you know what it is. And it seemed like the Lord sat down beside me in the car that day and rejoiced that my dad had a testimony that he was a Christian. The last time he was in church, Larry Roberts was there. And he said, all right, somebody quote a Bible verse. And the dad quoted one, and he didn't give him the text for it. So he said, you got to give him the text. So he said, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good. Then the love of the Lord, and then the call according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Listen, he quoted that night in church. And friend, listen, you don't know what today could be the day you leave this world. And as the preacher said, death is not a bad thing. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of this thing. I'm glad that the apostle Paul said, be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Life is but a vapor. Here today, it's gone tomorrow. And however many years you have, it's not that much. And it's not that long after all. And Moses said in Psalm 90, Lord, teach us to number our days. Right. And teach us to number our days. And we get all caught up with a watch. I haven't hardly had a watch on forever. I got a cell phone. I look for that. I see what time it is, you know. And I like to look official and important. In 1208, for those of you that are worried, and listen, I'll pull that. You know what? There won't be no time in heaven. There'll be one around the corner. There won't be no worrying about that kind of stuff. And none of that. There'll be no time there. There'll be no saying goodbye. It's been a while since our church has had together like that. And Fred Anderson, we said goodbye to your wife just a little while ago, almost a year ago now. I said goodbye. And it was a sad goodbye, but it was a sweet goodbye. I remember they sang that song, What a Day That'll Be. And Brother Anderson stood up and praised the Lord. And it wasn't praising the Lord. His wife was going. He was praising the Lord that she had somewhere good to go. Amen. And she had a certainty, a testimony, an assurance. And friend, listen, but you and I, neither none of us like goodbyes. We don't like staying by the grace side. We don't like knowing that body will be lowered down in there. But friend, we have the blessed hope and the assurance that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they that are alive and remain shall go to meet Him in the air. I don't look forward to goodbyes down here. I don't get excited about saying goodbye to people that I love. And but friend, listen, the fact of the matter is they're coming. And if the Lord tarries at His coming, we'll have more goodbyes down here. But friend, listen, we're going to a land where there's no more dying, no more sickness, no more sadness, no more sorrow. Thank God for that precious land. Listen, there'll be no more. And it's also the land of the forevermores. There'll be happiness forevermore. There'll be joy forevermore. Hey, you may not like it, but they'll be shouting forevermore. Brother House, and he was preaching one time, and he was preaching with this other older man, I believe Brother Cedar Holmes, somebody like that, and he said they couldn't find him. He was late for the meeting, and he went to his motel room to knock on his door, and he wouldn't answer. And finally, he jiggled the door, and it was open. He looked inside, and the old preacher was up on the bed with his shoes off, jumping up and down, praising the Lord and shouting. He said, I didn't want to interrupt you. I said, what are you doing? He said, the house. He said, sorry. He said, I was just practicing for heaven. Just practicing for heaven. Friend, listen. Hey, don't you think when we're down here in this old sin-cursed flesh and this old rotten world, don't you think how that whenever we can get our hearts stirred, I guess some of us can. I'm not sure about all of us, but there's a good number of us that can have our hearts stirred and be joyed and excited. What will it be like when this old rotten flesh is out of the way and all the evil thoughts are out of the way, and all the bad memories are out of the way, and all we have to do day after day and moment after moment is look to the Lamb, is to look to Jesus, to look to God, and the glory of the city called heaven, friend. They'll be rejoicing.
therefore rejoice in hope. Every Christian here is saved, we ought to rejoice. This is the practical part, amen. This is the preaching part. We ought to look in the mirror every once in a while and see if we have a disposition that shows forth any kind of rejoicing in us, friend. Listen, this whole world, we're to witness to them. We're to give them the gospel. Friend, listen, wherever we go and to whomever we speak, they ought to see a spirit of joy and rejoicing. Why? Because we're on our way to a better city. I call you up and say, listen, I want you to come over and I'm frying some burgers. I can fry good ones too. Amen. Listen, I like to climb that. Amen. Right there. Listen. I like to get in the water and put all kinds of stuff in them. Amen. Take about a half hour, 45 minutes and fry them up good and fill them up full of stuff. And you don't have to eat for 3 days afterwards. You ever have one? You want another one. But I call you and say, hey, come on over. Man, if you're hungry, you're going to be excited. But if you've been eating all day, you may not be so excited about it. Amen. If you're feeling bad, you may not be excited about it. But if you're good and hungry, you'll say, man, that sounds good. Your belly will start talking to you. And your tongue will start talking to you. I want to go get me one of them burgers, friend. Listen, why don't we get hungry for heaven? Why don't we get excited about the Bible? Jesus Christ said, I go away. He said, if I go, he said, I'll come again and receive you to myself where I am. There you may be also. I had a teacher, Bible college, Mr. Troy Blackwell. They said, Mr. Troy, where's heaven? He said, wherever Jesus is. He said, it can be on the point of a pen. That's all right. He said, wherever Jesus is, that'll be heaven for me. And friend, listen, I'm going to a land that's fairer than they. And by faith, we can see it afar. Heaven waits just over the way. And friend, Jesus is there.
Amen.
There ought to be some rejoicing in it. Hey, we ought to put away some of the fighting and fussing at home and fighting and fussing and complaining about the economy. Friend, this world's not my home. Whatever happened to true Bible Christianity? I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Before Christianity got so technical and when it was just a bunch of poor down folk together to worship and praise God, we used to come to the church house and sing, I'm satisfied with just God's will. And you know what? But I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Amen. And the old saints of God, we've kind of got caught up in this whole world down here. We're worried. Well, what if? What if? What if Jesus comes back today? That's, brother, that's the what if I'm looking for. Who are you worried about? Who the president is or who the hater? Who she is or not? Or what happens here? What happens there? Friend, listen. This world's not my home. My kingdom's on the throne. I'm just getting ready for it. Listen, the no mores, the forever mores, and the therefores rejoice. Therefore, rejoice in hope. Therefore, run the tail. Yeah, man, listen, we ought not have to be pried and pegged and beat and bullwhipped to go soul winning. Friend, all it is telling people about where you're headed someday.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to heaven when I die. Yeah. Hey, Gene, how you getting there? Jesus saved me. How do you know? Well, the Bible says so. Yeah. Well, how do you do it? I pray and ask Him to forgive me of my sins, and I believe He died for me. And He did. That's how I know.
Yeah.
It's that simple, folks. We ought to be learning to tell people. What did he call them up and say, listen, hey, I was mad at you a while ago, but I'm not mad at you anymore. I got my church got right, and I'm excited about heaven. I'm excited about God. And I want you to know that when I die, I'm going there, and I hope you'll go there too. Amen.
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 Right.
You're not sold on my phone. He goes sold on, listen, we have to sold on. They ought to be people stopping us from going, and we ought to be telling everybody about it. Amen.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Therefore, number three, ready yourselves. Ready yourselves. Again, practicality reigns and rules in my thoughts. There won't be any of this in heaven. Listen, folks, what's wrong with coming to church and practicing the disposition you're going to have when you're there? Every once in a while, you can shake your head. Every once in a while, you can
say,
you can get the songbook out and you can sing, Blessed I shore run. Jesus is mine. Oh, my Lord,
this is my soul.
illegal dog running away. I don't think that'll be in heaven.
Right.
I'm not sure that most of the habits that we practice daily are going to be in heaven.
Right.
Listen, I'm not picking on you, but I doubt that it's going to be a tobacco-only section in heaven. It's not going to be a booze and every once in a while-only section in heaven. Listen, Catholic priests won't run down and say, all right, we're going to hold communion. I got some fruit of fire. We're going to get drunk and have communion. No, there won't be any of that stuff in heaven.
Right.
Listen, there won't be any R-rated. And with the movies there, Al Gore might have a big screen. He might let us watch Moses cross the Red Sea. I'll say, don't get it, Moses. That'd be fun. I don't know. Man, listen, that's one of them assumptions. It could be. We'll figure out when we get there. Amen. We won't matter then. I don't know. But I guarantee you, there won't be no swearing and cursing and carrying on. It won't be anybody taking God's name in vain.
Right.
Won't be any people running around nude and carrying on. It won't be in heaven. Why don't we practice for it? We're closer to that than we are to dying. Than we are not being born. You're closer to heaven than you are your mama's belly. You know that?
Amen.
You can't go back, but you can go somewhere when you die.
Right.
We ought to be practicing for that sin. God has us a songbook. I need to get some orders. We've got to have one of these moments. Sing it every once in a while. Sing them songs and think about heaven and read this book right here. Therefore, read in that city. Read your Bible. Get your Bible out every once in a while. If heaven's real, read about it. I know what some of us do. Man, if you ever go on a trip, you get some of them brochures and read about it. Man, that looks pretty. I think I'll go visit that. I'll go there. And, when all West Virginians, when you do get to go outside the city, you know, you get to go somewhere, man, you read all them things and look at them and do all that stuff. You don't get to do any of it. You know, you just, but listen, while we read about heaven, we got a brochure. It's a pretty good one. The authors, it came from heaven. Forever, all thy word is settled in heaven. We've got the brochure right here to read about it.
Amen.
Why don't we do it every once in a while? Therefore, remember, every once in a while, when you're thinking about heaven, remember where you used to be headed before you met Jesus.
Amen.
Before you met Jesus, you were headed for hell. Every person in here that's saved, there was a used to be. There was a time when you were lost. There was a time when you were on the way to hell. How old is your father-in-law? How many years? He said 52 or 56?
Oh, 56
years. He told me he's going to be saved coming up. He's just excited about it. It just happened.
Yeah.
How many of you got a spiritual birthday in March? Raise your hand. How many of you got a spiritual birthday in April? Raise your hand. Anybody? What about one in May? You got one in May?
Amen.
How many of you got one in June? Anybody got one in June? Anybody got one in July? You can think about July. Listen, thank God you got a day when you were saved. See, what's a spiritual birthday? Well, you've been in the Episcopalian church for too long. But in a Baptist church, it's the day when you were born again.
Amen. Right.
You must be born again.
Amen.
Therefore, rejoice in hope. Therefore, run to hell. Therefore, ready yourself. Therefore, read of that city. Instead of reading all the bad in the newspaper, and all that's going on in Washington, and all the bad that's going on here, why don't you just every once in a while say, Lord, I've got a Bible. I'm going to read about heaven. God, teach me about heaven. I'm coming there someday, Lord. I want to be ready. I want to see what it's like. And just remember, folks, remember that if Jesus hadn't gone to Calvary, there'd be no hope. I tell you, if we thought about it, heaven a little more, and remember, where we'd be without Jesus, we'd love Him so much the more. What a day that'll be when my Jesus, when I look upon His face, the One who saved me,
by
His grace. Heavenly Father, we love You, Lord, more than what we could ever figure. Lord, You know better than anybody here. Regardless of what anybody thinks about the message, Lord, it doesn't matter. You know, Lord, this the apprehension in my heart, even before coming, Lord, just the nervousness about the subject. Lord, I can't even begin to explain what heaven's like. I just wish tonight, this morning, Lord, that maybe some of us could just take a little drive and realize that there is a city that's fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it far. God, I pray that that picture would change our lives, change our actions, change our ways, and let us be a people that represent the city. for the rest of eternity. Lord, bless us today. Let's all stand, our heads bowed, and eyes closed, rest in the invitation time. I'm in